Let's try this out. Okay, let's begin with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara is recounting the story of when Chizkiyahu HaMelech was sick and he recovered. And the pasuk in source number one, the pasuk in Yeshaya says that it was during that time that Merodach Baladan, the king of Babel, sent a message to Chizkiyahu. He heard about Chizkiyahu's recovery. He heard Kichola VeYachazak. He heard that Chizkiyahu was sick and he got better. And he wanted to be mechabed him. So the Gemara tells the story behind it. If the story sounds familiar, it's because we learned it together last year before Purim. Kosfulei, so they sent a note. They sent a get well card. It's verse number two. Kosfulei Shalma Malka Chizkia, Shalom Aleichem King Chizkia, Shalim Lekarta Yerushalayim, Shalom Aleichem Holy City of Jerusalem, Shalim La'alokah Rabba, and Shalom Aleichem to the great God of the Jews. Okay. Remember? Nebuchadnezzar, says the Gemara, Sanhedrin Tzadivav, was a scribe of Beladan. He was not yet Nebuchadnezzar HaMelech, he was Nebuchadnezzar the scribe. And he was out to lunch at that time. And he came back from his lunch break and he said, what happened? Oh, we sent the message to Chizkiyahu HaMelech. He got better, Baruch Hashem, he recovered. Okay, what did you write in the letter? Shalom Aleichem Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Shalom Aleichem City of Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem to the Jewish God. So Nebuchadnezzar says to them, what? In the third line of source 2, Amar Lei, Amar Lehu, he said to them, Karisu Lei Elokah Rabba, you call the Jewish God a great God, and you write God last? Because Sivsu Lei Levasov, you put God last on your list? This is how you should write it. Shalom Aleichem to the God of the Jews. Shalom Aleichem to the city of Jerusalem. Shalom Aleichem to Chizkiyahu. So they said back to him, Kraina de Igrisa, the one who reads the letter, Iu lehabe parvanka, should be the shliach. Which is another way of saying, so you fix it. Right? The letter had already been sent. So Rahat Basre, the Gemara says he started chasing after the messenger who was delivering this message to Chizkiyahu. He took four steps. Also, Gavriel of Okmei, the Malach Gavriel came and scooped him up and carried him the rest of the way. Amar of Yochanan, the last line of source 2, El Maleba Gavriel Vehamido, Lohayat Akonalisoneim Shal Yisrael. Had Gavriel not come and interrupted Nebuchadnezzar, there would have been no hope for the Jewish people. What does that mean? There would have been no hope for the Jewish people. So hold on one second. The Yalkut Shimoni tells us another version of this encounter. Midrashim tell other versions of this story. And you'll notice in source number 3, one of the changes is, in the first line, Rahat Basre, when Nebuchadnezzar chased after the Shliach, Rahat Shalosh Psios, he took three steps. So now we have a contradiction between the Gemara and the Medrash. According to the Gemara, he took four steps. According to the Medrash, he took three steps. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to him, Ata pesata shalosh psios b'shvil kvodi. Wow, Nebuchadnezzar, you took three steps in my honor. So Hashem says, I'm going to make three generations of leadership come from you. Dominant, world dominance. You're going to become a king. Evil Merodach is going to become a king. And Belshazzar, three generations from you are going to be kings. As a reward, for every step you took, another king will rule the world. Nebuchadnezzar, Evil Merodach, and Belshazzar. And then the Medrash concludes in source number 3, in the middle of the third line, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Uma bischar psios, Sheshilamti lo sarasha, Sherat achar kvodi, Atatama. If you'll ask, how could I give such a big reward to a Rasha who took a mere three steps in my honor? So Hashem says, relax. Kesha'ani mishalim schar la'avram, li'yitzchak, li'yakov, when I reward the Jews, spent their whole life running for Hashem. Spent their whole life running for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Trust me, the reward's going to be that much greater. Okay? So three generations of leadership for the three steps. According to the Gemara, maybe four steps that Nebuchadnezzar took. And the Medrash identifies, again, exactly what the reward is. So if you remember last year, Purim time, we learned the Gevaldik Torah from the Chafetz Chaim. Just to review it for a couple of moments. Right? Machlokas, three steps, four steps. The Chavetz Chaim said, anyone remember? remembers? It was on Zoom.
Yeah, Zoom makes you forget easily.
3.5 steps. He took 3 full steps, and he was about to take a 4th step. He took 1/2 step, and then the Malach Gavriel scooped it. It's not a machlokas, says the Chafetz Chaim. This is recorded in one of the Hebrew biographies of the Chafetz Chaim in source number 4. It's not a machlokas, he took 3.5 steps. Which is why, who's the 4th generation from the Buchanetzar? Vashti. Vashti, right? Vashti ruled for a period of time, but her reign was cut short. And therefore, however, now says the Chafetz Chaim, we understand the Gemara. What did the Gemara in Sanhedrin say? What was the last line? Rabbi Yochanan said, had the Malach Gavriel not come to the rescue at exactly that moment, the Jewish people would have been destroyed. Why? Because if Vashti is entitled to a full reign, right, then Vashti is never removed, Esther never comes to power, and Haman carries out his evil plot, and the Jewish people are destroyed. It was Dafka because he was stopped at 3.5 steps, says the Chafetz Chaim, that the Jewish people were saved on Purim. Again, we learned that by Barichus last year. Okay, but this concept of taking 3 steps, the Nebuchadnezzar took 3 steps for HaKadosh Baruch when he got such a big reward. It's a very, very chashev thing, and I want to try to develop that in the context of Hanukkah. Okay, Yekusil, you wanted to say something?
Yeah.
All right. John.
Again, at that point, so the extra 1/2 step, what's the difference between 3.5 steps and 4 steps? Because he's getting rewarded for having Vashti.
So he got 1/2 a kingdom. He got every step, apparently, got a malchus. So he got 3.5, right, periods of world domination.
No, I'm saying like the 1/2, but regardless.
It shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu even pays for broken efforts, for half measures. Right? That's also a chashuv thing. That's a very chashuv thing. Maybe that's part of the answer in the dimensions of the Aron that has the luchos. Right? We have half measures. Any of the measures of the Kalim of the Mishkan are full measures, but I think by the Aron you have half measures. So they talk about what's the inyan of a half measures. Maybe it's a vart in humility. Maybe it's a vart that you can never really finish learning Torah. Maybe it's a vart that even broken Torah counts or something. Right? A broken bit of Torah. You sit there, you break your head on a tosos, and you don't really understand very much. And you're like, what was the point of that? I didn't understand anything. But Hashem rewards for even the broken efforts. Maybe that's part of the message of the broken measurements in the shiurim of the Aron that housed the luchos. Okay, but there are other places where we find this concept of 3 steps. Obviously, a very beautiful example is what we find in source number 5, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu by the Sneh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that Moshe Rabbeinu is paying attention, and Hashem likes that. According to Reish Lakish in the Medrash, Moshe didn't do anything other than turn his neck. He looked over his shoulder, and Hashem rewarded him just for looking, just for stopping to look, is a chashev thing. But Rabbi Yochanan, interestingly enough, Rabbi Yochanan, same Rabbi Yochanan who told us in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that had Gavriel not come to the rescue, then the Jewish people would have been destroyed, says Rabbi Yochanan in the Medrash in source number 5, Yalkut Shimoni and Parsha Shmos, Vayomer Moshe Asura Nave Ere, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Shalosh Psios Pasa Moshe. How much effort did Moshe make to walk towards the Sneh? He took 3 steps. And of course, in that moment, he becomes the leader of Klal Yisrael. So apparently when you take 3 steps, it's like this unbelievable... 3 steps on behalf of Hashem is a gewaldic thing. It's an unbelievable thing. Even a Rasha like Nebuchadnezzar took 3 steps, and he went from being a scribe to becoming a king. So, Chavra, every one of us has taken 3 steps in our life for Hashem. We've taken many more than 3 steps for Hashem. The Baal HaTanya writes in source number 6 in Parshas Miketz, in the Torah Or. The Baal HaTanya says that we have to understand, and there's a lot, this is part of this year that's not fully developed. Those who were here on Sunday, we were talking about how a Malik has a certain gaiva, a certain haughtiness to them. And you see the Baal HaTanya, this has nothing to do with Hanukkah, but he talks about how we counter gaiva. And that's why I think there's even more Hanukkah that he's hinting to. But the Baal HaTanya writes in source number 6, V'tzarechu lavatesh gasas rucho. A person needs to what? Needs to kind of uproot, to stamp out his haughtiness. V'al derech zeh hu yisurei olam hazeh habayim la'adam. And the Baal HaTanya says, Do you know why you have difficulties in your life? To humble you. Hashem has to humble a person. Because gaiva is a terrible midah. So when you think you're on top of the world and then something bad happens to you and you're feeling kind of down, that's Hashem's way of humbling you. And you should say thank you because that keeps you in check. It keeps you functioning in a proper way. Ki lo machmas onesh, eino roi l'sheves b'shalves olam haza. Right? It's not that you don't deserve to have a good life in this world. On a certain level, you do. You know why, says the Baal HaTanya? Because you're a really good Jew. You know how much schar you have already? Some of you might say, I'm like just getting started in my Yiddishkeit. You know how much schar you have already when you break it down? Baal HaTanya says, Shere Matzino b'Nebuchadnezzar. We just learned the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Nebuchadnezzar b'shvil shahalach gimel psios l'chvod Hashem yizbarach. Because he took three steps for Hashem. Paskulo malucha al kola olam ulizaro achrav ad gimel doros. He became a king. For three generations, his children became world leaders. Says the Baal HaTanya, it's a beautiful line. Look at this, where it's bolded. Ve'ein lecha adam Yisrael shelo kibed hamakom bakach. Is there any Jew in the world who never took three steps for Hashem? He took many, many more than three steps for Hashem. Anytime you ever, you know, walk to shul on a Shabbos morning in the rain or the snow, you know how chashuv those steps are. You know how chashuv it is to walk down this street in the morning to get to shir when you're exhausted and you're up late and you were studying and you've got a lot on your mind and you still came this morning. You know how precious every one of those steps is a step for Hashem. So every Jew's taking steps for Hashem. Nebuchadnezzar took three steps. Right? Ein lecha Yisrael. Ein lecha adam Yisrael. There's no Jew in the world who hasn't taken at least three steps for Hashem. V'chol tov alam hazeh kedayu lo. And all of the goodness of this world he deserves. He should have it all. Ela yisurim boim levat eshes ha'odom la'achnio u'lahashpil gasos rucho. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends yisurim to a person to humble a person. So you don't become haughty. You don't become gaivadik. And he quotes the Gemara in Brachos that one little bit of Musar, one little bit of Mardus, right? A little bit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, pushing you around is a good thing. It keeps a person humble. It goes a long way. Okay? Let's transition to Hanukkah. Let's leave this aside for a few minutes. And let's go back to my Hanukkah. And the famous question of the Gemara, Shabbos Daf Chaf Aleph. They came to the Beis HaMikdash, and there was no pure oil, or so it seemed. Everything, Timu Kol Hashmanim Shebeheichal. And the Gemara says in source number 7, the Gemara in Shabbos says, Bodku v'lo matzu ela pach echad shel shemen, she'emunach b'chos moshel kolin gadol. So, Chevra, there's a very important question we have to review, which is, how did they know that this oil wasn't tameh? After all, what would it take for a Yavani to make a jug of oil tameh? All he has to do is touch it. All he has to do is move it. Chazal or Gozer, one of the gezeros of Chazal is that Nachrim have the tumah of a zav. And a zav is metame something, but tumas hesed, simply by moving something. So all the Yavanim had to do, they didn't have to smash the jars at all. All they had to do is pick up a jar, put it down, tame. It could be that they didn't actually break any of the jars in the Beis HaMikdash. We picture, you know, the oil spilled all over the place, a big mess. It could be they came in and just touched everything. We could talk another time about why that is. Right? Why that's even worse than destroying it. Right? It's a tumah, you can't even see it. So when they found this one magical jar that they said, oh, this jar is pure. How did they know it was pure? That's Tosfos' question in Mesech HaShabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph from Abbas. So Tosfos says in source number 8, if Chazal, in fact, were gozer at this point in history, a tumah on the Nachrim, that Nachrim have a tumah like a zav, so tzarich lomar, so we would need to say, shayamunach b'choisem b'karka. Where was the jar? It was sealed and buried in the ground. Shalohi sito hakli. That they did not handle the kli at all. They did not move the kli. Somewhere beneath the tiles, beneath the floorboards, underground, somewhere it was hidden. This jar was hidden, and that's how they knew that the jar was not touched at all. How did they find it is a great question.
I was there
with their question. They used their tzitzis, I'm not joking, I'm being serious right now. They used their tzitzis, and their tzitzis turned into, like, you know those guys on the beach, like a metal detector on the beach? I'm serious. And they started beep, 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 beep. And they heard, they found the spot where the jar was buried. If you don't believe me, then we'll talk about it another time. I'll prove it to you. Maybe we'll do a tzitzis Hanukkah
shit. I tried it, I never got a treasure.
Okay, you gotta be a chashmonoi. Okay? But however, this inyan, which we've touched on in the past, this inyan of the jar buried in the dirt, it's a very chashuv inyan. It's not just that this was a way to ensure the halachic validity of the purity of the oil. It's much deeper than that. It's much, much more than this. Because, however, as you know, when you look at the name Yavan, as it's written here on source number 9, you could see. Right? You could see. The letter Yud represents the Jewish people. We're a Yid. A Jew is a Yid. A Yehudi. A Yud. A Yid. You know why the Jews are compared to a Yid? A Yud? Because no matter how much you chop a Yud, it's still a Yud. You cut a Yud in half, you say, what letter is that? It's still a Yud. You cut it even smaller. As long as there's a tiny dot, it'll always be a dot. No matter how much you chop it, even if it becomes, you know, so small that it can't be seen by the naked eye. But a Yud is always a Yud. No matter how much they try to break us, they chop us down, a Yud remains. What's amazing about the letter Yud is that the letter Yud floats. It floats in the sky. It's the only letter that floats in the sky. All the other letters, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, they all rest on the line. Even though the lines are sometimes imaginary, although they're sort of lines in the Torah. So most of the letters, again, if we were to get to the line, so the Aleph rests on the line, the Beis rests on the line, the Gimel rests on the line, the Dalet rests on the line, the Yud is like this magical little letter, it just floats in the sky. L'malam el'teva. So a Yid, a Yehudi, a Jew is l'malam el'teva. He's above and beyond. What does Yavan try to do? Yud Vav Nun. They try to take a Yid, who's Lamalim and Ateva, who's mamish flying in the sky, who wants to live beyond this world. You know? Like they say about certain tzaddikim, that they were a tefach above the ground. They would literally be floating, you know, off the ground a little bit. A little bit above Olam Hazeh. You know, a tefach higher than the world. Yeah. So the Yavanim, they want to take that Yud, and they want to drag it down. They want to pull it down. And then it becomes above. Then they want to do something even worse. Because there are some letters, we know that the Sofit letters are very much connected to Midas Hadin. Take my word for it for now. So what Yavan tries to do, they take a Yud, and then they drag it down to the line, and then they try to drag it below the line. In other words, they try to drag us not only, you know, down to this earth, but they try to what? They try to send us to Sheol Tachtas. They send us into the dirt. That's why the Pasuk says in Tehillim, in source number 10, David HaMelech cries out. David HaMelech says, "Ve'ya'aleini mibor sha'on," lift me up from the boar. Interesting that the whole story of Yosef being thrown into the boar, habor reik ein bo mayim, appears where? As we learned, it's right next to the Hanukkah sugyas. Everyone's trying to figure out. Pashup Shad is because it's Rabbi Tanchum's statement. The same Rabbi Tanchum who taught us about the menorah is the one who said the drasha, habor reik ein bo mayim. But the whole inyan of Yosef was very much connected to Hanukkah. Yosef HaTzadik, who's thrown into his own boar, right? Who's buried underground, so to speak. Very interesting. That's like the Pach Shemet. So David HaMelech says, lift me up, save me, v'ya'aleini mibor sha'on, mitit hayavein. Interesting. What does that mean, mitit hayavein? What's the tita yavein? It sounds like Yavan. What's tita yavein? It means the mud, the filth. David HaMelech says, get me out of the dirt. Because that's exactly what Yavan tries to do. They try to take a Yid, a nice, clean, holy Jew who's a little bit above this world, and they try to drag him down, first to just be, you know, be more makusher to the world. Until a person's sunken into the world. That's the nun sofit. He's buried in the earth. The irony, of course, is that dafka from the dirt is the place where what? Where the Pach Shemen emerged. Right? That's the most beautiful irony of all. That Dafka, the place where they tried to bury us, to destroy us, in the Tit HaYavein, in the filth, in the mud, Dafka, from that place, we extract the beautiful, pure, and holy Pach Shemen. That's a Gevaldik Vinahafachu, right? We think Vinahafachu is a Purim, you know, Inyan. But that's a very Gevaldik Vinahafachu on Chanukah. Dafka, they try to bury us in the dirt. And by the way, just to show you, and again, I don't want to go fully into this Indian right now, but just to show you how much Yavan is connected to that Indian of burying in the dirt. And again, that's why it's so tragic when Yosef's own brothers are throwing him into the dirt, throwing him down the well, you know, down the well into the pit. If you go back to Noah, if we go all the way back to Noah, source number 11, when Noah, everyone knows what Noah stands for, right? What's Noah? Noah, Nunches, Noah. What's Noah? Ner Hanukkah, right, of course, Noah, Ner Hanukkah. So when Noah is found to be a shtickel drunk, and he's a little bit uncovered, the Torah says in source number 11, Vayikach Shem VeYefes Es HaSimla. Shem and Yefes, they take garments. Vayasimu Al Shchem Shneim, they place it on their shoulders. Vayelchu Achoranis, and they walk backwards. I don't have a proof, but for argument's sake, let's imagine they took three steps backwards. It would be very geschmack if we could prove that. I don't have a proof yet. And they covered over their father's nakedness. And Rashi tells us, why is it in the singular, in source number 12, why is it in the singular? Why does it say, Vayikach Shem V'yefes? Why does it say, Vayikach, in the singular, if two people are carrying this garment to cover over their naked father? Rashi says, Ein ksiv Vayikchu. It doesn't say Vayikchu in the plural, it says Vayikach, Ela Vayikach. Limed al Shem, Shenes Amitz V'mitzvah Yoser Me'yefes. Shem was the one who really led the way in covering over his father's disgrace. Yefes helped out. They each got a reward. Nebuchadnezzar got a reward for three steps. I'm sure Yefes got a reward for covering over his naked father and sparing him from that embarrassment. But Shem was the real one who was leading the way. Right? Shem was the one who was leading the way. Who do we come from? We come from Shem. The three sons of Noach, Shem, Cham, and Yefes, who do we, the Jewish people, come from? We come from Shem. Who does Yavan come from? Yefes. Right? That's the Yofi, the Yofi of Yavan, the beauty of Yavan. Right? The beauty of the Greeks is Yefes. So what was the reward? Look at the reward. So interesting. Says Rashi, Lakach zachu banav litalis shel tzitzis. Told you tzitzis, Avi. You thought I was joking. What was the reward that Shem got for covering over Noach's erva? He got talis shel tzitzis. V'yefes zachal lekvura lebanav. What was the reward for Yefes? That in the future, right, as the pasuk says in Yecheskel, in the battle of Gog u'Magog, the Yefes, the Greek, or whatever, the Yefes descendant soldiers are going to not have their bodies disgraced left on the battlefield. They're going to be zocha to burial. But what you see is that the origins of Yavan, which comes from Yefes, has a strong connection to what? Has a schus of burying. And they use that against Klal Yisrael. Yud Vav Nun. To take a Heilige Yid who wants to be transcendent, who wants to fly in the sky like the letter Yud hovering above the line, and they drag it down, and they drag it down, and they drag it down. And that's why we say in the Moaz Sur, we say, Yavanim Nikbitsu Alai. The Yavanim what? Nikbitsu Alai. Another way to read that, you can read it as that the Yavanim Nikbitsu that they wage war, Alai Al Yud. Alai, Ayin Lamed Yud, Al Yud. They wage war against the Yud. Right? Not just against the Jewish people, not just against Jewish values, but the concept of Yud. That you think, as a Basar V'dam, as a person, you think you're above this world. They were very into this world, the best of this world. Man-made philosophies. Right? The beauty of the human body. Their notion of God had a very human aspect to it. So the Yavanim Nikbitsu Alai, they targeted the Yud. They wanted the Yud to be a little bit more down to earth, so to speak, and even below the surface. Okay? Let me add something very, very interesting, a little bit Kabbalistic. I don't fully understand what I'm about to say, but I'll say it anyways. Should have brought my sitter. You have anyone have a good Kabbalistic sitter here?
That's okay. Let's try the Svarna regionally Kabbalistic, so this might work.
But if not, I can still say it without this. The Sviros, the 10 Sviros, have corresponding Nekudos. There's different nekudos that correspond to the sviros. Okay? What svira is the svira of Chanukah? Which of the sviros relates most directly to Chanukah? Hod. Right? Hod. Okay?
Over here. No, the sviros, let's go to the sviros. Take it, just the lower seven. Yeah. Pass it on the right. Gvura. I'm just trying to do the lower seven spheres.
Right on top, you have Keser, Chachma, Bina. Then you have Chesed, the right side, the left side, and the middle column. Right on the right, you have Chesed, you have Netzach. On the left, you have Gvura, you have Hod. The middle, you have Tiferes, and then you sow it in the Malchus. Okay? So Chanukah primarily is connected to the sphere of Hod. I told you, Yavan represents Gaiva. The opposite of gaiva is hod. What is hod? What is the mid of hod? To be submissive, right? Netzach, victory. Hod is humility, submissiveness. What's the gematria of hod? 15. What's the gematria of gaiva? 15. So hod is the antidote to gaiva. Zelu umat zeh. When two things have the same gematria, it says in Koheles, chapter 7, verse 14. Zelu mazeh asa Elokim. This one opposite that one, Hashem has created. That means if two things have the same gematria, that means they're either the same, or that means that they're, you know, they're arch enemies. So hod, submissiveness, bittul. Of course, that's why, where do we talk about Chanukah in our davening? Right? In modim. Because as we talk about Chanukah, as we thank Hashem, right, we bow down. We lower ourselves. We humble ourselves. The irony of Yavan, of Yud Vav Nun, is that they push us down. It's not because they're trying to get us to bow. The ultimate sign of a Baal Gaiva is not a person who wants to build himself up, but wants to put other people down. That's how he feels big. He knocks other people down. That's Dafka how he tries to make himself big. Right? He never has the self-confidence. It's always about putting other people down to try to make myself taller. So Yavan tries to knock us down to build themselves up. So the Mida of Hod is the Mida that corresponds to Chanukah, Lahodos, Ulahalel. Right? It's about modim. It's about being moda. It's also about what? It's also about confession, submissiveness, surrender, to admit, right? To be moda, not just to thank, but to be moda, to admit that I'm nothing without you, Hashem. Thanks and admission are obviously connected. I thank you because I'm admitting that I couldn't have done it without you. Okay. So now, if you open up Sifrei Chassidus VeKabbalah. So each of the 10 spheros have a corresponding nikud. Right? One of the nikudos corresponds to that particular sphere. What is the nikud that the Arizal talks about for Hod? Okay, I'll tell you. I don't expect you to know. It's kubutz. What's a kubutz?
Isn't it
those three dots? It's those three dots that go
up.
I guess up or down, depending on, right? Three dots on an angle. Right? Three dots on an angle.
That's the nikud, the nakuda that corresponds to hod, is the kubutz. Dot, dot, dot. Why? Because that's like yavan, right? Yavan is yud, vav, nun. The question is, am I going to take three steps up? Am I going to be like even the Nebuchadnezzar who took three steps forward for God? Or am I going to allow a Yavan to push me down, so to speak, down, down, down? Right? Those three dots, depends how you view them. You can view them as three dots descending. You can view them as three dots ascending. Yeah, no say.
It's actually cool because Yavan is like that way.
Exactly. This is sort of the reversal of that. No? So, however, now you understand, this is super geschmack. Now you understand the Lashon of the Tefillah. What do we say? Yavanim what? Nik bitsu alai. Why is it nik bitsu? It's an interesting word. Kubutz, the lashon of kubutz. Right? The Yavanim nik bitsu alai. Right? They gathered against me. Why is it used the lashon of kubutz? Because the Indian of the kubutz again is these three steps, dot 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 on a slant. Am I going three steps up? Am I going three steps down? Which way am I going? It's interesting. The Svarim actually also point out, How many hours are there in Hanukkah? 8 times 24. What's 8 times 24?
What's 8 times 24?
192. Okay. Kuf Beis Sadi, the root of the word kubutz, right, is 192. So there's actually the whole avod of Hanukkah, the whole 192 hours of Hanukkah, but Yavanim nikbitsu alai. This whole battle against Yavan is that Yavan is trying to get us to take three steps away from Hashem. And the avoda of a Jew is to what? Is to take three steps towards Him. Now, why three? Three is easy to answer. The first answer why three is because, first of all, three is a chazakah. It establishes a pattern. Once I've done something three times, or as Kohelet says in Source 13, v'achut ha-mishulash, the three-ply cord, lo b'mehera yinasek, is not easily severed. Hashem rewarded Nebuchadnezzar by giving him three generations. That was pretty scary. Right? There was a possibility that Nebuchadnezzar would have gone forever once the Malchus Babel had been so strongly established. Three represents something very powerful. Rashi explains in Koheles, in Source 14, Davar Acher, what is Koheles talking about when he says a three-ply cord, if you take three ropes and you weave them together, it's not easily broken. Rashi writes in Source 14, Mishu Talmud Chacham, Uveno uben beno. If you're a Talmud Chacham, and your son is a Talmud Chacham, and your grandson is a Talmud Chacham, shuv ein Torah foseches mizaro, then the Torah will not ever leave your descendants. Right? Jack, so we were learning last night also, right? Who's going to be the Arev and the Arev to the Arev? Right? Three generations. V'cheinu omer lo yamushu mipicho mipi zaracha mipi zara zaracha. Once you have a pattern of three, it establishes a derech. So therefore, the Yavanim want us to take three steps. They want us to go down, 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 to the point that we're buried. Amish, what do you bury? You bury someone who's dead. That's what burying is. You bury someone who's not alive anymore. The Yavanim want to destroy the soul of the Jewish people. Right? And of course, the Yavanim nikbitsu, again, the kubut, the three descending dots, again, represents this idea as well. But the avoda of Hanukkah, however, is to do the exact opposite. Let me just add one more point about the threes. There's a beautiful Medrash Tanchum on Parshas Yisro. If I asked you, what did Yavan fight against in one word, the answer is Torah. They came to uproot the Torah, to destroy Torah. The Medrash Tanchum on Parshas Yisro says that the number that is associated with Torah is the number three. Everything that has to do with Torah and the Jewish people is three, which explains why Yavan, with their three, again, this descending three, is trying to uproot and destroy the essence of the Jewish people. The Medrash appears on the Pasuk B'chodesh HaShlishi. We left Mitzrayim in Nisan Iyar Sivan. It was the third month that we got the Torah. So says the Medrash in Source 15, Halo kasavti lecha shalishim b'mo'etzos v'das. Pasuk in Mishlei. Amrav Yeshua b'Rabbi Nechemya. What's this referring to? What's the three that Hashem advises us in? Zo Torah. This refers to the Torah. Sho'osi oseh mishulashim aleph beis gimel. The letters are clustered in groups of three, like Aleph, Beis, Gimel. That's the least obvious three of all of them. V'akol hayu mishulash, but everything in Torah is three. Torah mishulashes, Torah Nevi'im v'ksuvim. Mishnah mishulashes, Talmud, Halachos, and Agados. V'sarsur mishulash, Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. Right? Three leaders of that family. Tfila, Erev, Boker, V'tzarayim. Kedusha mishulashes, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Yisrael Mishulashin Kohanim Leviim Yisraelim. Moshe has three letters. He comes from Shevet Levi that has three letters. Right? He's Mizara Mishulash. Right? The Zera of the Jewish people come from three. Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. We got the Torah in the third month, Nisan Yer Sivan. We got it on Har Sin. Not Har Sinai, it says Vayachanu Midbar Sin. Sin has three letters. Right? We spent 3 days preparing ourselves to receive the Torah. It concludes the Medrash Amar B'Yeshua Bar Nechemya La'olam HaShlishi Chaviv. So obviously not by chance that Yavan has three letters. Not by chance when we talk about the four exiles of Jewish history, what number is Yavan?
Three.
The third of our four exiles of Jewish history. Yeah.
Just an idea I thought of. So it doesn't, when you look at Hod, it doesn't matter which way a Yid or a Yid goes. In the end, we'll always end up being a Yid.
Yeah.
When you go three steps either way. So.
Yid is Yid. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So this is why Yavan is attacking us in, again, with threes. Three steps. Again, three steps of a Rasha in the right direction can change his life. Nebuchadnezzar. Three steps in the wrong direction, Yavan thinks they can bury us once and for all. They can finish us off. Okay, so what's our response? Yeah, you want
to
say?
Yeah, no, just going back to finding the jug of water on the ground.
Yeah.
I forget where I heard this, but it can be compared to, like, you take, like, a seed to plant something.
That's right.
Like, you dig it, you shove it underground in the darkness and the dirt, the soil, Nahon. And like, you drown it in water. Like, it's, like, all like, out.
And it decomposes.
And then, yeah, like, it has, like, no hope. Like, it's, like, basically, like,
that's right.
It doesn't exist anymore. And then little by little, it grows and soars above everything else.
That's right.
It goes above where it came from.
That's right. Dafka from that place, it sprouts. From the place, it's buried underground, it's dark, you drown it in water, it decomposes to the point of almost complete obliteration, and then it sprouts. Dafka sprouts from that place. Yeah. That's why Rabbi Nachman always said, Ein Shum Yayush. Ein Shum Yayush, right? Never give up hope. Eventually you'll work it out. So if you look at the word Ein Shum Yayush, look at the last three letters. Ein Shum Yayush. What does it spell? Shemen. Right? Shemen. So the oil comes from a place of, again, from a place of sometimes despair. Again, we learned the Gemara the other day. The Klausenberg Rebbe told us, you crush the olives, right? And Dafka, after beating up the olive, Dafka, then the beautiful oil comes out. In Shum Yayush. Nothing to worry about at all. So Chevra, if Yavan tries to what? Again, if we go back to the Gemara says the Yavanim came, and they were Timu, Kol Hashmanim Shebehechal. So Chevra, what's the opposite of Tumah? Tara, okay. Tara, what else? Kedusha, right? Impurity and holiness. Kedusha. Tara is certainly a correct answer, but also Kedusha. So, Chevra, let's think about Kedusha for a second. Those who dive in Nusach Sfar know that in Kedusha, right, by Musaf, we say Keser. Beautiful tefillah. Keser Yitnu Lecha, verse 16. Keser Yitnu Lecha Hashem Elokeinu Malachim Hamonei Mala Im Amcha Yisrael Kavutzei Mat. Yeah, the angels on high want to sing Kedusha to Hashem. But as we know, as we'll see, the angels are not able to what? To praise Hashem until Klal Yisrael praises Hashem. Until the ones Lamata do their part, the Lamala doesn't do its part. So the Siva Shalom brings, in his writings on Chanukah, it's a beautiful quote from the Divrei Shmuel, one of the earlier Slanim Rebbe's. The Divrei Shmuel of Slanim, one time he was saying Keser, and he said, when he said, I'm Amcha Yisrael Kvutze Mata, he screamed out, he said, Kvutze Mata, Mata, Mata. What was he saying? Keser Yinu Lecha Hashem, we're going to give you a crown. The angels in Shemayim, we're going to give you a crown. With the Jewish people who are Mata, 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 who are down below, down below, down below. What was the Halig of Slanim Rebbe saying? So the Siva Shalom explains in source 17. Hainu, Shafilu Elu Shehei Mata Mata Vamadrega Shvela Biyoser. Even a person who's down, down, down. So now we understand that's Yavan. Yud Vav Nud. Down, down, down. Push us down, they push us down. Even a person who's down, very, very down. Bechinas Lamata Me'asara. As the menorah we know is placed in a very low place. But we're learning that the root of the menorah is really buried in the earth. Gam mehem ola keser lemelech. That even from such a person, a crown is formed. However, you know what keser has to do with Chanukah, right? Donna, you know. We spoke about it last night without speaking about it last night. How many mitzvos are there in the Torah? Not your question. 613. How many mitzvos derabanan are there? Seven. What was the last mitzvah derabanan? What was the last rabbinic institution? Chanukah. Right? So Chanukah is mitzvah 620, which is the gematria of Keser. So Keser, Yitnu Lecha, Dafka, the last thing, in the darkness, in a low place, from a Pach Shemen that was buried in the dirt, that little bit of Kedusha that emerged from that world of Tumah. Keser, Yitnu Lecha, we're going to give you a Keser, a crown, right? A Keser, 620, mitzvah Ner Chanukah, the last mitzvah. A Dafka from that place, and what the Slonim Rebbe said, Mata, Mata, Mata. You have to believe that even if the Yavanim have buried you, Mata, Mata, Mata. Shebechina zu haisa bechanaka. Sheoz nishlam ha keser elyon. Keser Elyon. We've spoken in the past about that word, Keser Elyon. Keser Elyon. Right? Elyon is Al Yavan. Al Yavan. Elyon tries to push you down. Elyon, Al Yavan. Be above Yavan. Don't be below Yavan. Don't let them push you down. Yes, Dani.
I'll try. Go for
it.
You said Yavan was trying to push everyone beneath and bury underneath the ground as low as they could possibly fit.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know, like the first character that I thought of was Rashbi, which is like very deep beneath the cave.
Of course.
The sand. You take the Gematria of Yavan, 66.
Yeah.
Which half of that is Lach, so like 33 is, it represents like the antidote to being buried beneath is Rashbi emerging from the cave.
There's a lot of connections. I'd like to give a shiur maybe this year on Hanukkah and Lag BaOmer. There's a lot of connections. Lag BaOmer is what?
And the fire.
What's the most simple connection?
Fire.
Fire, okay. But what do we say? We said Hanukkah is Hod. What's Lag BaOmer? Hod Shabbahod. In this sphere, it's Hod Shabbahod. Right? They're very connected. Yes, Rashbi comes from a very secretive and buried place, a deep place. 100%, 1,000,000%. Okay? There's a lot to develop there. Very nice. So, dafko mata, mata, mata. When a Jew is down, down, down. Now, chever, what do we do during Kedusha? This will change. You'll never do it the same way again. After today's year, you'll never do it the same way again. When we say Kadosh, 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 what do? We go up, up, up. Why? Why do we do that? What's the source for that? Shulchan Aruch writes in Source 18 that when you say Kedusha, also very important, Yesh Lisa Ha'inayim Lamarom, Yishash Orim Kedusha, you're supposed to lift your eyes up when you say Kedusha. The Shavrua quotes in Kabbalistic works that we lock eyes with Hashem at that moment, we're looking Hashem in the eye, very intimate moment. And more than that, Shulchan Aruch says, V'chein Minah, the Rama brings, V'chein Minanim Gufan V'nosin Osan Min Ha'aretz. We lift up we remove our body, and we lift it from the earth. Right? And of course, that's the minhag of going kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. If you look in Source 20, the Ben Ish Chai actually says, not everyone agrees to this, I'll just be fair, some Mekubalim actually say that the first kadosh should be the highest one. But the Ben Ish Chai, in Parshas Truma, in his writings in Halacha, the Ben Ish Chai writes in Source number 20, the Ben Ish Chai says, "Hadilug hu shiyadaleg akevav v'gufo klape mala." The way that a person leaps during kedusha, that he lifts up his body, specifically his heels, he lifts up his heels from the ground. V'lo yadaleg harbe shiyaslotzu alav. Don't jump too much, and people will think that you're weird. We'll get to it in a second. Right? Says the Ben Ish Chai, where it's bolded. Vishlosha dilugin shall kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Kol hagba bitosefis ma'at al chaverta. When you do kadosh, 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 says the Ben Ish Chai, each time should be a little higher than the previous one. Demalin bekodesh. Malin bekodesh, vein moridin. So it's mamish the response to Yavan. Yavan says down, down, down. And yes, it's true. Says the Slonim Rebbe, even when a Jew is mata, 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 down, 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 a Jew has to believe that even from that place he can reemerge. But Kedusha, which is the opposite of Toma, in a certain sense, right? We go up, and we go a little higher, and we go a little higher. Malin B'Kodesh Re'en Marid. Of course, that's everything that Ner Chanuk is. Malin B'Kodesh Re'en Marid. That's what you're going to say, David, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We're always, the whole nature of the Hadlaka Samanora is this Indian of Malin B'Kodesh Ve'en Marid. But the Nefesh HaChaim, going back to Source 19 for just a moment, the Nefesh HaChaim reminds us again, Keser Yitnu Lecha, we can place a crown on a Kodesh Baruch Hu's head, not just the angels, people can. And it's not that people also can. People can first. We can do it better than the angels. Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in Source 19, V'zeh HaTam Shamalachim, HaMakdishim B'Shmei Marom, Mamtinim Milishalish Kedusha Samar Acher She'anu Mishalshim Kedusha Lamata. The angels on high, they wait to say their Kedusha until we first say our Kedusha. And Afshe Kedusha Sam Lamal Mikedusha Seinu, even though on a certain level an angel is holier than a person, Lo Shehem Cholkim Kavod LiYisrael, Ela She'ein B'Kocham V'Yecholtam Klal Mitzar Atzmam liftoach piyam lahaktish liotzra. But the angels need us. They don't have the strength, they don't have the ability on their own to open their mouth to say Kedusha. You read what Sifrei Chassidus and Kabbalah say about an angel's preparation to say Kedusha. How long he waits to say Kedusha. But he can't even begin to do it until we do it. We give the energy to the angels, so to speak, to do it. At Aliyas Kol Kedushas Yisrael Alei Milamata. It's when our voice goes up, the angels grab on and they sing along with our Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. That which we do all the time. Every time we daven, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. The angels are screaming at Shemayim waiting for that moment. It says Reb Chaim V'Lashon, where it's bolded, Ki Inyan Amiras HaKedusha. Because when a Jew says Kedusha, Hu Ha'alas Ha'olamos V'Skashrusam, you lift up the worlds, you attach the worlds, call Olam Ba'olam Shame'alav, you attach one world to a higher world, and to a higher world, and to a higher world. That's what Kedusha is doing. Says Reb Chaim V'Lashon, in parentheses, right, where it's bolded, V'ulai Mizeh Yotzam In Hagan Shal Yisrael, it's one line in Nefesh HaChaim. It's for this reason, he says, perhaps, the Minog Yisrael, Shenoagim lahalos atzman ve'es amiras ha-kedusha. That's why we go up, up, up when we're saying Kedusha, because the worlds are attaching one to the next. Up, up, up. So, Chaver, that's our response. That's how we fight against Yavan. Yavan tries to make us down, down, down. We fight back. We go up, up, up. Malin v'kodesh ra'in moridim. Kedusha. Okay, what do you want to say? Let's hear.
Just saw a quick story with Rebellion.
Yeah.
That during Kedusha of Shabbos, he thought each time he was going up, he felt he was going to leave this world. He had to hold a watch in his hand to look at.
Stay grounded, yeah. Tzaddikim have to always hold on to something in this world, right? Because that yud could fly away. Yeah. That yud could disappear. Right? You have to be careful on Hanukkah that you don't get too lofty, you know? Nadav and Avihu, they left this world in an Eish Zara, a holy but strange fire. They got too lofty and their neshamas left their body. So a person has to stay grounded. Right? By the way, since yesterday was the Bas Ayin's Yartzeit, so I'll just tell you a nice little remez that I once heard B'Shem the Bas Ayin. I never saw it inside, but I heard this many years ago. Chanukah has a lot to do with Bitochon. A lot of Svarim. You'll start reading Chanukah Svarim. You'll see Bitochon's a big Indian on Chanukah. The gematria of Bitochon is the same as Kohen, Al Yidei Kohanecha, Kedoshim. There's a lot to talk about Bitochon and Chanukah. But what's very interesting is that Bitochon is a display of Kedusha. You don't necessarily think of Bitochon as a display of Kedushas Yisrael, but here's how the Bas Ayin says it. He says, if you take the word, the shorish of the word for Bitochon, if you take Bez, you'll notice that inside of each of those letters is tremendous Kedusha. What does that mean? How do you spell the letter Beis? Like Beis. How do you spell Tess?
Tess.
How do you spell Ches? Ches Yud Tav.
You need the Yud.
Each one is a Yud Tav. You don't necessarily need the Yud. Sometimes Ches is spelled without the Yud. Bias Beis is only spelled Bias. Ches and Tess are sometimes spelled with the yud, sometimes without. More commonly, I think, with the yud. So what comes out, what's hidden within a beis and a tess and a ches? A yud tough and a yud tough and a yud tough. What's yud tough? 410. What's 410? The gematria of kadosh. So inside of beis, tess, ches is kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. So when you're looking up, as the Shulchan Aruch says, we're learning halacha today. When you look up and you look up and you lock eyes with Hashem, and as you say kadosh, 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 it's an expression of your kedusha, it's an expression of your amuna and your bitachon in Hashem. It's an unbelievable thing, and that's how we fight back against Yama. Now, Chaver, we didn't even get to the main part of the shir yet. Okay, but don't worry, you only have 5 more minutes. Shir's almost over. Join me, please, in Source 21. This is really where the shir came from. Mishnah and Maseches Tamid teaches us, how do you light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? Remember, the Baal HaTanya said, there's no Jew in history who didn't take three steps for Hashem. We all have tremendous zechuyos, tremendous schar, we took steps for Hashem, like Nebuchadnezzar, Lahavdil. The Kohen Gadol, when he lights the menorah, he's lighting it on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So the Mishnah in Tamid tells us that in front of the menorah, we're reading in Source 21, The Evin Haisa Lifnei HaMenorah. There was a rock, some type of structure in front of the menorah, Uva Shalosh Malos, and it had three steps. Sha'aleha Kohen Omeid Umeitiv Asaneros. When the Kohen would go up to light the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, which has seven branches, not like our menorah, which has eight branches, there was some type of little, you know, stone platform that the Kohen would stand on. A platform of three steps on his way to the menorah. Very, very interesting. So if you look at the Mefarshim on the Mishnayos, the Melechus Shlomo, for example, in Source 22, he says, I don't get it. I don't understand. What's the inyan of these? How do you know three steps? Uva Shalosh Milos. Right? The Mishnah says, upon it, in front of it, there were three steps. Eino Mefarish B'Sifrei, Lama Haya Shalosh V'lo Dalet, O Chamesh, O Shnayim. Why three steps? Maybe there should be four steps or five steps. Maybe there should be two steps. Why three steps? Not sure. Says Rav Avadya Mivar Tanura in his commentary on the Mishnayos in Source 23. I know why there's three steps. Maybe it's because the Torah in three different expressions says that we go up to the Neros. V'haloscha es haneros, v'hela es nerosel, and lahalos ner tamid. So maybe corresponding to those three verses in the Torah where it talks about the lifting up of the candles, which is really the candle flame itself lifting up, but maybe connected that, there are three steps. The Kohen also has to go up three steps on his way to the menorah. B'chavra, it's not a Shai Levayas anymore. We know exactly why the Kohen had three steps on his way to the menorah. Right? Because that's the antithesis of everything that Yavan wanted to do. Yud Vav Nun is taking three steps, what? Down. To move away. To walk away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when a Jew comes to face the menorah, al mul pnei haMenorah, which is mamish, an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, can't explain that to you right now. If you're interested, I'm happy to share it another time. That when you're standing, you look at the menorah, it's mamish like that idea of Kedusha. You look up during Kedusha and you lock eyes with Hashem. Al mul pnei haMenorah, it's a face-to-face encounter with the menorah. It's a gevaldik thing. So the Kohen, of course, has to go up three steps on his way to the menorah. He has to go up three steps, because that's, you can't light the menorah unless you understand that a Jew is kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. From a place of mata, 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 he goes and he keser, the 620th mitzvah of the Torah is Ner Chanukah. He understands that he can place that crown on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's head. Okay? I want to just end with a quote. I put the Kliyakar that we learned the other day on the source sheet. Right? The Kliyakar also says that, you know, that when we're going to be trampled like the Afra Aretz, like that Pach Shemen that's buried in the ground, as we learned the other day, the Kliyakar said, Min atachlis hashiflus al tachlis hamala, from the lowest place to the highest place. So that's taking that Pach Shemen from the dirt, going up those three steps in front of the menorah, and then being able to light the menorah. But the Kliyakar also says there's actually three promises in this pasuk. Right? That Ufaratzta, that's one, Yama of Akedma, he explains, is two, and Tzafon of Anegba is three. There's really three. We emerge from the dirt in three different directions. Again, we'll save it for another time. But I want to end with a quote. I want to be very careful how I say this person's name. Rav Chaim ben Rav Bezalel of Friedberg. Who is Rav Chaim of Friedberg? I'm only saying this to give context, not because you need to know who Rav Chaim of Friedberg is based on what I'm about to tell you. Because who's Rav Chaim of Friedberg? That's like saying, who's Josh Weinstein? Josh Weinstein is Josh Weinstein. What do you mean? That's who he is. Let's say he has a relative who's very famous. Is it nice to refer to him by his relative? Oh, he's the brother of so-and-so. Oh, he's the son of so-and-so. That's not nice. He's his own person. You don't want to always live in the shadow of someone else. Unfortunately, sometimes Rav Chaim of Friedberg lived in the shadow of his younger brother, the Maharal. He's Maharal's brother. Maharal's older brother. Chaim ben Bezalel. Okay, but when people say, you know, the Maharal's brother, that's like a little derogatory. Sometimes at the beginning of the Sefer it says, he's the Maharal's brother and he was a friend of Rav Moshe Isserles. They were classmates. What about himself? He was a very chashuv person. He was the Rav of Friedberg, which is in Germany. He was a very distinguished person. He wrote a very interesting Sefer called Sefer HaChaim and another section called Igeres HaTiul. Igeres HaTiul, a trip, you know, a real trip through the Pardes. So he writes the following. He writes it in both Svarim, in Yeras HaTiul and in Sefer HaChaim. He says, what do we do at the end of every Shemona Esrei? Listen to this. With this, we conclude. Yehi ratzon shiyibana beis hamikdash. A Jew says what? We end Shimon Esrei by saying we hope there'll be a beis hamikdash. Says Rav Chaim of Friedberg. Nagu laomer acher tefilas Shimon Esrei. We say yehi ratzon shiyibana beis hamikdash after Shimon Esrei. La'acher shapasa gimel psios la'acherav. After we take three steps back. La'hatam. Nebuchadnezzar took three steps on behalf of Hashem. Nebuchadnezzar became a king who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. So when I take my three steps back and I bow, I show that not only the three steps towards the menorah, I can be for Hashem. But even when I take my three steps back with humility and I bow at the end of my Shemona Esrei, the culmination of all of my tefillos, and I say, Yehi Ratzon, that there should be a Beis HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar took three steps and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Va'odim zeh she'espal liyotzro. This Jew is davening to Hashem. And he takes Gimel Psios la'achrav l'chvod Hashem Yisbach. He takes three steps, what? On behalf of Hashem. Omer Yehi Ratzon. These three steps that I took backwards in your honor, Hashem, al yedei psios halalu, tivna utuchonein beis elokeinu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and the schus of these three steps. Every time we end our Shemona Esrei, we end with a tefillah for restoration of Beis HaMikdash, the power of three steps. So we have the three steps of going up to the menorah. Maybe that represents a certain confidence that we have to have. And Azus to Kedusha, which we didn't really speak about today, but that's an important Inyan on Hanukkah. And then there's the three steps back. Right? You're supposed to bow before you take your three steps back, which is an expression of humility and submissiveness of Lahodos Lahalel. And then we say, Shibana Beis HaMikdash. Should be zochet to see the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Arkan. Comments, questions? Yeah, Abi.
So, what's the reason we
Yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah says we do an additional two hops, al pi Kabbalah. We do an additional two hops for a total of five hops, which I assume corresponds to the five parts of the soul. Right, that each one lifts up a different part of soul: nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, and yechida. I guess it probably has something to do with that. But at least now we understand why the kadosh, dafka. It's a triple whammy. That's our response to the yud vav nun. Of the mata. They try to drag us down. Yevarim nikbetsu alai. The kuvuts, the three dots of the kuvuts. Okay? Any other thoughts? Comment? Yaakov Baruch. Good stuff? You heard this before?
No.
Okay, good. You learn something new every day. Yeah, what else?
Just a question. Just to clarify, how did we get from home?